This is Focus West Michigan for Tuesday, November 11, 2025. I'm Joe Balecki with your local news. Steelcase is building its first large-scale on-site solar project in the U.S. at their Kentwood campus in West Michigan. WGVU's Dee Morrison reports.
The 800-kilowatt ground-mounted solar array on 3 acres of vacant land at the Kentwood campus will supply about 5% of the plant's current electricity needs. Maeve Trofe, director of sustainability for Steelcase, says one eventual goal is to export any surplus energy to the local grid for the community's benefit.
We're hoping that we can use this project as really a flagship project for Steelcase, but also for other manufacturers to look to and recognize that it is possible to invest in these technologies in Michigan and to make meaningful impact.
Trofe says the project underscores the company's commitment to a net zero target by 2050. Steelcase has a roadmap for scaling on-site solar that prioritizes the largest or highest emitting sites.
West Michigan for Steelcase represents greater than 50% of our total operational emissions. So there are a number of those top or high emitting facilities that are co-located in Michigan. So a lot of these initial investments we plan to make in Michigan.
The Kentwood Solar Project is planned to be commercially operable by March 2026. I'm Dee Morrison.
Demolition of the old Kent Community Hospital is expected to begin early next year, making way for a new county administration building. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the details.
The Kent County Board of Commissioners approved $5 million for the demolition of the 103-year-old Kent Community Hospital. Located on the county campus at Fuller Avenue Northeast, it's been vacant since Corwell Health moved to a new facility in 2024. Kent County Facilities Management Director Tim Bradshaw says the county is currently accepting bids for the demolition work.
I would anticipate abatement could start in January and February and then potentially start knocking the hospital down in maybe mid-March. They need to spray water on the hospital while they're doing that, so of course the weather needs to be above freezing regularly for us to do that to not make a big pile of ice all around the hospital.
The demolition will take approximately 4 to 6 months, with construction of the new administration building expected to begin in the fall of 2026. The new five-story, 125,000-square-foot building will house approximately 187 county employees, most of whom will relocate from the current administration building on Monroe Avenue in downtown Grand Rapids. I'm David Limbaugh.
In honor of Veterans Day, Grand Valley State University expanded its award-winning program for those who served in the military. It now includes a scholarship. WGVU's Dee Morrison reports.
This year, we are going to announce the Military Promise.
Grand Valley State University President Philomena Mantella made the announcement during GVSU's Veterans Day luncheon. The program guarantees admission to all military members who have committed to serve, are serving, or have honorably served, and now includes a scholarship.
Those students will have an admission slot at Grand Valley State University, and they'll have a $500 scholarship per semester while they're attending at Grand Valley State University.
The luncheon's keynote speaker, Ingrid Tai, is a former U.S. Army Signal Corps officer. Tai shared lessons she learned in the military and how that translates to civilian life, such as the mandate to prepare relentlessly.
For an exam, you gotta study, practice taking those tests. When you go into a meeting, prepare ahead of time, practice your speech ahead of time, little things like that. It seems so simple, but preparing relentlessly will help you succeed in times of uncertainty.
Tai also joined other veterans on a panel to discuss challenges to life after the military, emphasizing the value of leadership skills.
Bottom line is people first. No matter where you are, put your people first. If you take care of your people, they'll take care of you.
I'm Dee Morrison.
Coming up soon, we air an edited version of an episode of the new season of the Powerful Women Let's Talk podcast. But first, news from around the state. President Donald Trump issued preemptive pardons on Monday to 16 state Republicans who tried to pass themselves off as presidential electors following the 2020 election when the Democratic ticket carried Michigan. We have more from Rick Pluta.
The presidential pardons shield the would-be electors from federal indictments, but not from state-level charges. A Michigan judge dismissed charges of conspiracy and forgery in September on the grounds the state failed to show intent to commit a crime. Michigan Republican Chair Jim Runstead says that should be the final word.
I think the judge recognized this for what it was, a complete farce, a lawfare attack from a partisan attorney general.
But Democratic Attorney General Dana Nessel defended the charges in a written statement and says she is considering an appeal of the dismissals to a higher court. I'm Rick Pluta.
Michigan's LGBTQ plus community is celebrating the news of the U.S. Supreme Court saying it won't hear a case that could overturn same-sex marriage. Justices declined to hear a petition filed by former Kentucky County Clerk Kim Davis. A lower court ordered her to pay $300,000 to a couple denied a marriage license. Former Ypsilanti Mayor Beth Beshirt, who was part of the first same-sex wedding in the city in 2014, says she and her partner of 37 years, Lisa, are feeling relieved.
Our entire lives are going to be impacted by what the Supreme Court might decide. And so this was a huge relief, and I'm very happy about it.
Beth Beshirt was one of the founding members and first president of the LGBTQ plus rights group Michigan Equality, which later merged with the Triangle Foundation to become Equality Michigan. The 29 crew members who died on the Edmund Fitzgerald were honored on Monday on the 50th anniversary of its sinking. The Great Lakes Shipwreck Museum at Whitefish Point on Lake Superior held a ceremony to memorialize the crew. Hundreds of people from across the country came to pay respects on a cold, snowy afternoon. Governor Gretchen Whitmer said the response to the tragedy is an example of the state coming together.
But here today, we come together in a somber moment of reflection. 50 years later, we ring the bell. We read the names and we remember those we lost in this horrible tragedy.
A cover of Gordon Lightfoot's 1976 ballad, The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, played to end the ceremony. The day's events concluded with a private ceremony for the families of the victims. Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support the show and everything we do here, visit wgvunews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. In an edited version of this episode of Powerful Women Let's Talk, Jennifer Moss talks to appointed judicial official and U.S. Army veteran Zanetta Adams about her time in the military and how she has been working to serve veterans ever since.
From WGVU Public Media, this is Powerful Women Let's Talk. Conversations with women making an impact in West Michigan. Stay connected to Powerful Women. Please like and subscribe.
Hi there, I'm Jennifer Moss, and welcome to a special edition of Powerful Women Let's Talk. This November, we are honoring and celebrating our female veterans in Michigan, and today, I have the honor to welcome Zanetta Adams, a U.S. Army veteran and an appointed judicial official and court referee in Michigan, and a whole lot more. So welcome, Zanetta.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So we've got a lot of bases to cover, as you are a very, very busy woman, and all that you do has Powerful Woman written all over it. And I have to say that we are very excited in this cycle of Powerful Women Let's Talk to pay tribute to our female veterans in our great state. So let me start with a little backdrop. Your LinkedIn profile describes you as a disabled veteran, experienced attorney, and veterans advocate. And as mentioned, you're currently an appointed judicial official and court referee. You're also known for breaking barriers as the first woman veteran appointed to a cabinet-level position in Michigan when serving as director of the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency under Governor Gretchen Whitmer, and you previously served as Deputy Assistant Secretary for Intergovernmental Affairs at the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. And let me just say, folks, this is the short list. But also, I want to mention, you were recently inducted into the Michigan Military and Veterans Hall of Honor. That is a big congratulations. So we are so proud, and you're very accomplished. Give us that backstory about your military career and what has made you so passionate about staying involved.
You know, it started, you know, I went to the military in 1998, served, signed up for the U.S. Army National Guard. And then when I got married, life happened. I got married. My husband was in the military as well. Came back and started serving in the reserves. I actually got called up to on orders for Operation Iraqi Freedom in 2005. We were training to go over to Iraq, and I fell off of a truck, which was about a 10 to 11 foot fall, and severely injured my back. And so that was a journey. That was a very depressing, emotional, painful journey. I was in my 20s still. I didn't know what life was going to look like. I had already had a back surgery in the military. And when I came out in 2007, I had another one. And at that time, my nerve was severed. I was in a wheelchair for a little some time, not sure if I'd walk again. And so I was really depressed. But I had to fight the VA to get my benefits. And that was a struggle. And having to go through that as someone dealing with a disability, trying to figure out what your next is, and then you have to fight a big system, that's tough. And so after I was able to get through that, and I worked with some amazing women veterans and organizations to kind of help pull me through the suicidal ideations I was having and the depression I was struggling with, I decided to go back and finish school. So I went back and finished my undergrad in psychology, and I wanted to do more. And so I went to law school and said I wanted to help veterans get connected to their compensation and pension benefits. So that's really kind of what drove me to do the things I am doing today. And I'll say this, a lot of times when we're in a circumstance or we've had a traumatic event happen in our lives, we cannot see the future. We can't see that we could come out on a better side of those things. And I think I was stuck there for a while in the mindset.
So as you look at this, Annetta, what more needs to be done for our veterans? You know, we do so many stories about a variety of groups here on our NPR station, and we do stories about those that are helping to, that are working to help veterans, those with past trauma, everything from that to paying medical bills or just paying their heating bills in some cases, household bills. So a twofold question for you. So why do you think this is, and what remains the biggest hardship or struggle statewide or even nationwide for some of our veterans today?
I think that there's a struggle because there are so many labels and different definitions of what a veteran is. Even veterans don't realize that they're veterans. When you don't realize who you are, then you don't go to take advantage or take access or access your benefits. And so that's one piece of it. One of the things that I was on a mission when I was in the state and federal government was education. Education to not just veterans, but to those who serve veterans. And I'm not talking about veteran organizations. I'm talking about non-veteran organizations. Every organization in this country serves a veteran. They don't necessarily know that they're serving a veteran. Mm-hmm. But if we can educate them and put resources and tools in their hands that they could share, they don't have to be experts. We could actually get more veterans the help they need. We can get more veterans to remember the pride that they had in serving, which will carry on to their generations, because we don't have a lot of people sign up for the military anymore either. And so all of those things, it's not just a thank you for your service with your lip service. It's thank you for your service, but hey, here's some information that, you know, I can share with you that if you want to get access to your benefits, or you want to get your DD-214, or you want to learn about your education benefits. I'm not an expert, but these people are. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's what more can be done, is that if everybody takes on the mantle of, we all should be educators to help veterans, because they don't know. And I know there's over 500,000 veterans here in the state of Michigan. There's over 40,000 women veterans in the state of Michigan. And there's only like 18% of those people taking advantage of their disability benefits at the VA.
18%?
18%.
Out of that high of a number?
Yes.
And it, again, lack of knowledge?
Or? I believe a lot of it's lack of education. There's some who may not, don't know that they qualify for things now because they didn't in the past, so they won't go back to the VA. So it really is ongoing education and knowledge, but it's just people willing to do a little bit extra. We've had hospitals who've done that identify veterans, and they don't ask that question, right? And that's what I'll say to everybody, right? Don't ask if somebody's a veteran, because 9 times out of 10, even there's males that I've served 25 years in the National Guard, I'm not a veteran. But mm-hmm. you are, by the state's definition, and mm-hmm. there's potential benefits that you could access. And so instead of asking that, ask, have you served? That's the better question, because most people will say they've served. They just won't necessarily say they're a veteran.
They won't say they're
so
a veteran.
It just starts with just changing little things, educating the public on different ways to ask questions, and then where to seek the knowledge. 1-800-MICHVET, right? That's here in Michigan. MICHVET, that's the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency. They're knowledgeable about most of the programs, benefits, services federally and statewide. So they can help you get connected. You can call them to get a benefits checkup just to figure out, like, am I eligible for anything? Even spouses of deceased veterans, there's potentially benefits out there that they're missing out on. So it's just, again, it's education.
It's education, and that's a lot of what you do. And you've also been married for over 25 years?
Yes, 26. We just hit 26 in September.
Congratulations on that. 6 kids, you and your hubby.
Yes.
And you've still got all this done, doing whatever it is that they're doing and growing and learning and moving and grooving.
Well, 2 sets of twins is how you get there that quickly. But it takes a village is really not just a statement. It is the the word for my life between my parents and my husband and my friends and all the supports I've had. That's how you do it. That's how I've been able to travel and do all the things I've done, because I have a really great support system. I feel like, again, I get to that mindset, if not me, then who? And so I have grandchildren as well, and so they all keep me busy, but then I keep them busy with helping to volunteer and do the things I do as well. So,
okay, goals and ideas for the future, Zanetta, and the importance of staying involved in these veteran affairs in your life.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny. I don't really have, it's not that I don't have goals. It's just that I'm at the point in my life where I just allow God to lead me. I put myself out there and I say, you know, Lord, you show me where I need to go and I'll follow. I'm trying to be Abraham. You know, I receive phone calls this was not something that I planned for. And so I'm present in where I am and in the space that I am now, but I'm always letting Lord, I'm open to where you want to lead me and how you want to grow me and how you want to move me. That's my goal, is to continue to be obedient to the calling and to continue to advocate in whatever space he has me in.
And that is a good space to be in. Zanetta, I want to thank you for taking time to talk to us and with us for this special edition of Powerful Women, Let's Talk. We want to thank you, of course, for your service and all the important work that you continue to do in our veteran community.
All right. Thank you so much for having me.
And of course, a big thank you to all our listeners for joining us for another edition of Powerful Women, Let's Talk.
Powerful Women, Let's Talk is a production of WGVU Public Media. Episodes available at WGVUnews.org and on Apple and Spotify. Please like and subscribe.
The full version of this episode and all other episodes of Powerful Women Let's Talk are available online now at WGVUnews.org, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Tuesday, November 11, 2025. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan tomorrow. Thanks for listening.